I don't know about y'all, but I'm like notorious for losing things. I lose my car keys. I lose my phone. I lose my dog, supposedly. I lose so many things all the time. But nothing beats my mom. My mom, the stories my dad would tell me about my mom losing things are legendary. There was one time, I mean, she lost normal things like car keys, wallet. She lost me a few times at Disneyland. But the craziest story he told me one time, you know, back in the day when you left your keys in the car, you could actually lock yourself out. It's harder to do with modern cars. But he told me of a time where my mom locked herself out of the car. She lost her keys and left it in the car. But not only that, the keys were still in the ignition when she left it in there and locked herself out. Not only that, the ignition was on when she locked herself out of the car. Not only that, the car was in drive when she locked herself out of the car with the keys in the ignition, and the car started rolling away, and she was chasing it until it got stopped by colliding into another parked vehicle. And so I was like, how does that even happen? I'm trying to calculate, like, in what scenario do you lose your keys that way? You know, maybe you haven't lost your keys in a moving vehicle, but I get a sense that many of us, we've lost things in life. And I think we come in here today and many of us have lost something significant in life. And it's something more important than your phone or your keys or your remote. For many of us, I really do believe we've lost the will to live. And not in the sense that you want to end your life, but in the sense that many of us have settled with merely existing rather than truly living. You know, this is the often unspoken cry of so many people today. It's this: I want to live. I want to feel alive, but I don't know how. We do know how to show up for work and work extra hours more than we should. We do know how to pay our bills. We do know how to check off our to-do list. We do know how to suck it up and do what's expected of us, but we don't know how to live. We don't know how to wake up every morning and have purpose and joy. We don't know how to find the beauty in the everyday. We don't know how to love without restriction. We don't know how to celebrate with full abandon. And we don't know how to tap into childlike wonder. And like my mom, we see our lives moving further and further away from us, and we feel helpless to take hold of it. We feel powerless to live the kinds of lives we actually want to live, lives full of meaning, full of joy, full of peace, full of love, full of purpose, and full of fullness. You know, one of the joys of parenting is learning from my kids what it means to be alive again. Like, there is no 50% with my kids. It's either 0 or 100. Like, my boys laugh harder, they cry harder, they dance harder than anyone that I've ever met. And right now, you know, Zion, my older son, he's in his BTS era. BTS, if you didn't know, K-pop group. And so every time, you know, there's a lull in the day, he'll be like, BTS song, BTS song. And he actually knows his song. So he'll be like, Dynamite, Tropical Remix, Butter. Like, he just knows all these different variations of the BTS songs. They're truly milking all their songs, y'all. There's like 6 remixes to every single song. But then he'll just start dancing his heart out. Sometimes for hours on end, he's literally drenched in sweat, dancing to BTS, literally leaving nothing left behind, throwing it all out there on our living room dance floor. And every day he asks us to dance. You know, somewhere along the way, we've forgotten what it means to live like that. To enjoy life the way that it was meant to be enjoyed, to live without abandon. And look, this doesn't just happen in a moment. We all know this, right? It usually happens over many moments, seemingly insignificant, inconsequential moments, but they begin adding up. And maybe if you're old like I am, I just turned 37. I know I don't look like it, Asian jeans, yay. But life just has a way of slowly grinding us to death over time, doesn't it? Killing our hearts day by day in the sludge of the mediocre and mundane, subtly chipping away at our souls, leaving us completely numb and empty inside until one day we find ourselves asking, what happened to me? How did this become my life? I'm proud to say I've officially graduated into dad bod status. And it's crazy because a year after my son was born, I look in the mirror I'm like, when did this happen? Like, when did I age so much in my face? How did my body become so much more rotund? Like, what happened? And it's like, I didn't realize that I was slowly morphing into dad bod status. And sometimes I find that we are so busy with life, we're moving so fast, that we don't take inventory enough to ask ourselves, how are we really doing? Am I living the life that I want to live? Am I truly alive? Have you ever gotten to that place where you end up somewhere, you're like, how did I get here? I used to be so full of life, so optimistic, so joyful. I used to be able to dream and hope. I used to be so much more fun, so loving, so radiant. What happened to me? Here's the problem, and this is the problem we're going to address with Easter. We have a bit of a translation issue. When God talks about life, and when we talk about life, we're actually not talking about the same thing, even though we're using the same word. I think I used this illustration months ago. But y'all know Pizza Hut? Like, in the States, you know, Josh and I were talking on Instagram about how underrated Round Table is. Maui Zowie for the win, okay? But in the States, Pizza Hut, I would probably classify on a lower tier of pizza, right? Especially with all, like, the craft artisan pizzas here in the Bay Area, like New York pizza, Chicago. Think about all those pizzas. Pizza Hut's probably lower on the list, right? But in Korea, did you know that Pizza Hut is goated? Pizza Hut, it means something totally different in Korea than it does here in the States. Here in the States, Pizza Hut's kind of this lower echelon on the pizza hierarchy, but it's commercialized fast food pizza. It's rarely the first idea that pops up when you're thinking about the first date. But in Korea, Pizza Hut fancy, y'all. Pizza Hut's nice. It's a nice sit-down restaurant with gourmet pizza. They got like sweet potato crust. They got cheese crust. They got all sorts of fancy toppings. It's almost like fine dining. Pizza Hut, to an American, is different than Pizza Hut to a Korean. And in the same way, when we think what life is, when we think of what life is, it's actually not the same thing that God says life is. When we talk about life, what we're often talking about really is existence. I'm alive. I'm breathing. I'm existing. Every time I go to my barber and I sit down, she's like, how are you doing? And I tell her how I'm doing. I ask, how are you doing? She's like, oh, I'm existing. I'm just getting by. I'm just surviving. I'm just barely making it. Y'all resonate? You've been there. We've been there. We know what it's like. But when God talks about life, he's not talking about mere existence. He's not talking about just surviving, just making it just barely enough. He's talking about something much more. This week, every year, churches all around the world, billions of followers of Jesus, we spend time telling the story of Jesus going to the cross, dying, and coming back to life. And the question is why? Why do we celebrate this man 2,000 years ago going on the cross, going into the grave, and coming back to life? Why do we celebrate? What does it mean for me? And it's this: Jesus didn't die on the cross for you and I to merely exist. He didn't die on the cross for us to just survive and scrape through life. He didn't die on the cross for us to be mindless zombies autopiloting through the work week. He didn't die for us to be disengaged and rarely present in our relationships, for us to be numb and apathetic and hopeless and joyless. We often forget why Jesus really came. He didn't just come to forgive us of our sins. He didn't just come to get us out of this hellhole and move us to heaven where it's pure bliss. He came to give us life here and now. And this is the tagline of our faith of Easter. Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people come alive. And this is why we celebrate Easter. This is why the resurrection of Jesus is such good news. Because wherever you're at, whatever you're going through, however dead you might feel, however dead your circumstances might be, Jesus offers you an invitation. Come alive. I want to open up to a passage that doesn't get preached on a lot, Matthew 27:50-54. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. This is on Good Friday. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. We all know this, right? The epic scene on the cross, the curtain rips in two. It's this epic moment. But a lot of people forget about this next sentence. The bodies of many holy people who died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. Get this. When Jesus came out of that grave, he didn't come out of it alone. It said that the bodies of many others who had died were raised to life. And they went into town and appeared before many people. Honestly, kind of sounds like a horror film. It could be, right? Like zombies coming out of the grave. But it's actually a beautiful picture, and I'll tell you why. The good news of Easter isn't just that Jesus came out of the grave. The good news of Easter is that he invites all of us to follow him out of death and into life. In Revelation 21:5, it says, "And he who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.'" Resurrection reminds us that newness is possible. For every hopeless circumstance, newness is possible. For every broken relationship, newness is possible. For every injustice that we see in our broken world, newness is possible. And I love that this passage says, I am making, present tense, action verb, meaning he's still working. Even in the areas of our lives where we can't see God, where we're left wondering, God, where are you? Why aren't you moving? Even in those places, God is still working and he's still moving. The story isn't over if the story isn't good. And Easter reminds us that the worst thing is never the last thing. If all you see around you is death, you can be sure that resurrection life is around the corner. I also love that he said, I am making all things new. Notice that Jesus didn't say, I'm making all new things. He says, I'm making all things new. He's not like us. You know, when things break around my house, because I'm not a very handy guy, I discard it and I get a new version of that, right? When your phone breaks, what do? We tend to either try to fix it, and when we can't, we throw it away and we get something new. When our refrigerator breaks and we can't fix it, we get something new. When things break, when things stop working, when things get difficult, when things die, we toss them out and buy something new to replace it. But God is not like us. He doesn't give up on things that are broken. He doesn't give up on things that seem hopeless. He doesn't give up on things that are dead. God doesn't abandon creation. He renews it. And this is good news for us, because no matter how hopeless, how broken, how lifeless things seem, God is in the business of resurrecting them. I used to live in Oakland, right on the border of Oakland and Emeryville. And on our street, like, people, when they didn't want something in their house or when things were broken, they often left it on the curbside. Do you guys live in a neighborhood like that where people just leave things out for people to take? Well, I had a neighbor around our house who would actually regularly drive through the neighborhood and pick up these broken things on the curb. And he'd take them, put them in his truck, and move them back to his house. His house looked like literally a junkyard. He just had a bunch of stuff that he would pick up throughout the neighborhoods, throughout the street. And it's interesting because I noticed that sometimes throughout the day when I walk by or drive by, he's working on fixing those broken things that people left behind. And I actually think this is actually a beautiful illustration of our Messiah. That when we have given up on things and left them on the curb, our relationships, our careers, our dreams, anything that we think is dead, lifeless, or hopeless that we've left on the curb, Jesus looks at that and says, I don't give it up because it's broken. I'm in the business of renewing things. And the question I want to ask you today is, what have you put on the curb of your life? What have you given up on that you think there is no hope for this? There is no life in this. It's broken. It's dead. Because I feel like the encouragement and the word that God wants to give you this Easter is, I am making all things new. I am making all things new. And so it's a very simple invitation for you today. If you find yourself broken, if you find yourself feeling dead inside, if you find yourself feeling hopeless and lifeless, there is an invitation for you today to experience the life of Jesus. And it all starts by saying, God, I want your life. I want you here. I want this life that you have promised me. and I want to follow you into it. Right now, why don't we close our eyes as we pray? God, I just thank you so much that you are here in this room. And it's a very simple message, but it's a message that we need to hear. It's a message that reverberates throughout all of history and time. And it's that you are no longer in the tomb. You are no longer in the grave. You are no longer dead. But you are resurrected. You are alive. And today we not only remember the God who came back to life, but we lean into the one who will lead us into life too. And so I speak right now and I pray over anyone who feels dead, anyone who sees brokenness, anyone who's lost the will to live, anyone who feels hopeless and defeated. I thank you that your portion for us is so much more. And I keep hearing you saying the story isn't over if the story isn't good. And so today we lean into the one who makes all things new. We lean into the one who brings resurrection life. Listen, if that's you, and you could think of things that you have left on the curb of your life, things that you have given up on. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's your career. Maybe it's maybe internally you just don't feel right. You feel broken and lost. Maybe it's a circumstance that you've been praying for and believing for, but you've given up on because you haven't seen God come through. Whatever it is that you've left on the curb right now, would you offer it to Jesus? And I see Jesus meeting us in those places of brokenness, in those places of hopelessness, in those places of death. And as he did in his grave, in his tomb, I see him bringing us back to life. I speak over all the dead areas, all the things we've left on our curb. God, would you renew them? Would you make them new? Would you make them beautiful? Would you help us come back to life? We all want to live, but we don't know how. But we know that you do. And so we want to follow the one who leads us into life. I sense that some of you, you've been feeling like you're far from God. And with every eye closed, I just want to extend one more invite. We're not going to ask you to come up here or raise your hand. But if you have been far from God, and you have been distant, and you haven't really made a decision to follow him and to say, Jesus, I want your life. If you haven't done that, or you need to do that again, I want to extend an open space for you, just in the comfort of your own seat, just within your own heart and your mind. If you want to make Jesus the person that you follow into life, if you want to accept him into your heart, if you want to be led by him to experience this life that he offers, if that's you, I just want you to make a yes in your heart. Say, yes, Jesus, I want to follow you. Yes, Jesus, I want your life. Yes, Jesus, I want to make you the Lord and the person that I give all of my being to because I know that your portion is life. That's you. Just say a yes in your heart. It doesn't have to be anything fancy. Say, yes, I want to follow you. Yes, I invite you into my heart. After service, if you need someone to talk to about this decision that you've made or this recommitment that you're entering into, I'll be available. You could come find me. We can have a chat. But God, we just thank you for this space. We thank you for this Sunday to remember your life. We love you. We honor you. And we thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name we pray, we say, amen.